Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your great and mighty love with which you have loved us. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that you have sent to us. We give you all the praise. Thank you for the eternal life that we have. Thank you because you have placed us in Eden, in heaven, in your sacred place forever. Thank you for giving us that authority. We give you all the praise today. And Lord, as we get more, even from your word, we ask that our eyes of understanding is enlightened and that we are better for the hearing of your words today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. All right, we've got some thoughts to cover today, still as part of our discussion on God's eternal plan. We've been talking about it for some 4 sessions now. We're just going to drive a little bit more in it today so that we can just pack it. We've not finished, but we just pack it for Believers Congress. We revisit this God's eternal plan at another time. All right? Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. We're going to read and just... So we want to discuss Matthew 13. So Matthew 16... maybe up to verse 19 or 20, but we're just going to be taking some points there and discuss that, okay? So let's project Matthew 16, 13. Matthew 16, 13. Let's just... When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, his disciples, or he asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Let's put a stop there. Jesus was asking them a question. Who are people? Who do people say that I am? All right? In verse 14. Let's do verse 14. Verse 14. He says, "So they said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah. So others, they say Jeremiah or one of the prophets." All right? One of the prophets, Elijah. You know, see, it's common today in our world that people give God all sort of names. All right? It's not new. All right? So people that have known Jesus or that have met him. In fact, the one that is funny, that is very funny, is John the Baptist. John the Baptist was his cousin. All right? So it's important that we give, maybe that's the next point there, that we know who God is and we call him who he is. And we don't just give him any name that suits us. Or we don't just see him from our own perspective. All right? Verse 15. Look at it in verse 15. "And he said to them, but how about you?" All right? So, I want us to please help me preach just this one time this morning. Maybe some more times, but this first time. Ask your neighbor, who do you say Jesus is? Or, you know, there's no answer. Don't answer it. Ask him, who is Jesus to you? It's important for us. Don't just give an answer. Don't give an answer before you say, "Oh, he's my miracle worker. He's my money giver. He's my ATM. He's my provider. It's my, you know, it's my husband, it's my wife." All right? It's okay. All right? But then, Jesus will now ask, because we are going somewhere with all of this. Now we're getting into it. All right? "But who do you say that I am?" Verse 16. Verse 16, look at it. Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." We've covered this, right? So he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." See, our opinion of God, it matters. Who God is to us matters a big deal. All right? Such that we don't give him our own definition or how it suits me or this is the way I see it. In our time, our generation, we hear a lot, "To me, this is the way I see it. To me, God is to me, another person of God to me, all right, my perspective is this about God. Whereas we are being warned about that, hey, we are not supposed to give God a general definition. Or let me put it better, a personal definition. That, well, because of my circumstance, that is who God is. Well, when I'm in this, is that. Well, God doesn't have that kind of definition. God's definition is constant throughout the world, throughout the scripture. And we must seek to know who he is. Let's read verse 17. Verse 17. It's important so that, you know, we're going to where, what we're going with it. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona. Don't forget what he said. So, you know, and he told him, hey, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Did you get the point? So it means that, hey, we don't just cook up a revelation of God. We don't just cook up, you know, let me just do some research and do and get to know, well, this is who God is. No. We are reading here now that for Peter to get it correctly, that Jesus is the Son of God, is not a mental calculation. It's not an assumption or some combination and permutation. No, he is revealed. God's understanding must be revealed. We've done this study before, that if you go through the Bible, everyone that told us about God, they didn't come about that definition. God came to them and revealed himself to them. We start from Abraham, all right? Abraham will be the first. In fact, even Adam, all right? Oh, let's start from Abraham, all right? Abraham didn't just say, well, no. It was God that came and revealed himself to Abraham for Abraham to have a proper understanding of who God is. He said, I'm God. I'm the God of heaven and earth. And this is my plan. I'm the eternal God. I'm Jehovah, all right? He will reveal himself. Abraham did not come up with an idea of who God is. And you will see that pattern consistently through. Even Moses. Moses now wrote to us, you know, Genesis, Exodus, and all of that we are reading today. But it wasn't Moses' idea or Moses' idea. All right? It will be what God told Moses about himself. Are you getting my point? All right? So what we are getting at is we don't come up with a definition of who God is to understand his eternal plan. We don't prepare a plan for God. No, God has got his own plan. He's got an agenda. He's got what he's up to that he has now revealed to us. It is in getting that we can get a proper definition of who God is. That yes, he is the Son of God, all right? He is the Christ. And notice he calls him the Christ, not a Christ, not another Christ, the definite, all right? So to have that definite understanding of who God is, all right, we must check God's word. Above God's word, we'll put that. All right, we must check the word and get a revelation and get to understand the revelation of who God is. Hallelujah. Are we together? Praise God. All right, so to understand who God is, the revelation of God must come to us from his word. Hallelujah. Our opinion of God matters. God is known by revelation. Abraham, Moses, God revealed himself to them. And for us today, let me just clarify what I've just said. All right? I don't want us to now go seeking a revelation. That, oh, God, reveal yourself to me now. All right? Let me go to one mountain and let just so that I can get a revelation of who God is. Well, God now, in our time and age, has already been revealed to us in his word. All right? Because I want to get my own revelation, another revelation, all right? That's some dangerous path to tread. All right? All right? Because in God's word, we now have a revelation. Of course, God, you know, what we have in the Bible is God's word revealed to us. It's now being revealed. So we now have the responsibility to go through God's word to understand who God is. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right. So that's the first point that I want to say there. All right. Now, so it says flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. Of course, you now know why. We read it last. God's word must be revealed. All right. It says, are they known? They will not have killed the King of Glory. All right, God's word, God's plan must be revealed. And in revealing it, we get it from God's word. Verse 18. That's 8. Let's do verse 18. Praise God. Ah, look at that again. I like this. And I also say to you that you are Peter. Let's follow. Building on God's revelation, building on God's understanding from his word, that is where we get to know ourselves. All right? So, we've said it. It is in our knowledge of who God is, that is where we get to know our own identity. In other words, you don't know yourself until you have known God. All right? We don't have an identity until we have identified God. It is in God's identity that we find our own identity. All right? You see, he said, oh, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now he said, well, the flesh and blood has not revealed that to you. All right? But my Father in heaven had done that, had revealed that to you. And I said, but so because you got that right, now I said to you, you are, of course, does he not know his name? He knows. All right? So you know, different from the idea where people say, well, that's just me. Well, for us to agree, because we know you are a believer, for us to agree that that's you, we will take what you have done or what you have said, all right? Because we now know you, we compare to God's word. If it's not aligning, we say, but that's not you. God says you are blessed. God says we are patient. God says, you know, all right? So we will not agree, quote unquote, with the definition of you or a version of you that is not aligning with God's word. We will present God's word to you. We will show you who God is. We will show you what he has done. All right? So that it now forms our pants. Well, that's just the way I am. No. All right? We may just be believing a lie of the devil that is not what God has said about you. The reason we try to pull up, you know, to show ourselves who God is, what has he done, who did he call you? If he calls you blessed, my brother, my sister, you are blessed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Some friends will say, well, I'm just a melancholy, I'm just choleric, I'm just, well, take it easy. All right? God didn't call you choleric. He didn't call you melancholy. I'm just shy. I'm just a shy. No. That's not what God said about us. All right? He calls us blessed. He calls us bold. He says the righteous is as bold as a lion. That is what he calls us. All right? So it is in the understanding of who God is that we get to know ourselves. All right? He says, I also say to you, Peter, on this rock, I will build my church. Now, this is how our study begins. Hallelujah. I wrote here quickly. Jesus gives us our true identity. Jesus gives us our true identity. And God doesn't leave us hanging. I will just go through one or two stuff quickly because I don't want to get into that so that it's easy for us to come out and continue because we are going somewhere in verse 19 or so. Praise God. You see, when God made mankind, he didn't leave him to figure out what to do. He gave him an identity. What we are trying to say today is we know that identity that we're going. We must always align. That's the point. Align ourselves, our priorities, our actions, our preferences. We must align that to the priorities that God sets in his word. We must always do that. We must always find it. All right? In other words, you know the way you do some self-assessment? All right, we are at that point in mid-year. You must always, okay, in the last 3 months, how have I done? Comparing myself, not to another person, comparing myself to God's plan and purpose for my life. What God has said about me. How far? What are the deviations? Maybe I've prayed better, but I've not done, we are not condemning ourselves. We know that's what we're saying. No, we're just keeping check. All right, to be sure that what God has said about us, we are following that plan, we are following that purpose. So I said, when God made mankind, he didn't just leave him to float around. Genesis chapter 2, let's go back to our Genesis. I don't know for how long, we're going to be on Genesis for some time. Well, let's see. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden. All right? Don't forget, we've read that earlier. He placed him in that Eden, will be heaven, will be God's secret place, will be God's temple, will be what God built, the place of God that he made for him to function, is a supernatural reality. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, to do what? He gave him a purpose, to tend it and to keep it. Is a priestly duty. All right? To tend it now, to tend it and keep it, to attend, to function in that supernatural environment. Hallelujah. All right. Now, let's pay attention. Let's pay attention because we're going to drill some more now. Okay. So he made the man. He gave him a priestly duty. And if you understand priestly duty, we've done it in one of our studies before, our royal priesthood. All right. God dictates the priestly duties. We don't come up with how to serve God. No. God sets the pattern. God sets, this is how we do. This is how, in fact, he told Aaron, you must wear this robe, you must tell your children, you must, all right? He gave the specifics, all right? And that is what God is telling us to do as a priest, to tend and to keep it. Of course, that will be heaven, all right? So he tells us to be in charge of heaven, quote and unquote. So that will include prayer, that will include studying God's word, that will include, you know, being godly, all right? We don't want to see a believer. We know you're a believer, but when we see the way you talk, the way you dress, the way you, it's not looking like a believer. All right? You are not tending that garden properly. You are not, all right? So part of how we serve God, you know, includes being godly. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, being, you know, no. But, you know, you should be a believer. You know what I'm saying? All right? So we shouldn't find it difficult to believe that this person, this man or this brother or that sister, she's a believer. There's something, all right, different about him, all right? So that will include tending the garden, all right, or tending Eden, all right, attending to the things of God. It includes so. But then we are saying God gave us an identity, right? Now, there's something I want to say. Praise God. Let's look at, that's verse 15 of it, all right? Again, when God brought the woman, let's talk about that here, to Adam, all right? You know, he gave that woman also an identity. I just want to talk about that today quickly. We're talking about, it is in knowing God's plan or God's definition or God's plan, purpose, that we get to know ourselves, all right? It is in Christ Jesus that we get our true identity. So we are now getting to talk about, just shortly, about identity. So you don't say, I'm just like that. No. Well, maybe, you know, I'm. No, we are not like that. We are bold. We are committed. We are believers. We speak the right word. All right. We take corrections. We are corrected by God's word. We allow God's word to correct us, to shape us. Hallelujah. You know, I keep praying for myself. May I never get to that point where God's word cannot tell you, Ayo, you were wrong. And I will say, Lord, I'm sorry. May I never. Because God's word be that, is that seal, that authority. Say, Ayo, well, you should not have spoken that way. And I'm trying to cut around it to say, well, it did. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. God's word should be that check. So we've said it many times. So where God's word confronts us to say, hey, this is the way, that's the way, we drop whatever we've held onto, like hot potato or hot pan. We don't just try to hold, no, we drop it quickly and embrace God's word, the truth of God's word. Because that's our identity. That's where we find our identity. Hallelujah. Let's talk about this woman, because there's something that I want to, you know, reveal to us. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, just verse 18 of this. Because, again, to let us know, God doesn't leave us hanging. And the Lord God said, it is not good. We've talked about this, about marriage. But let's just take, I'll take time and explain. That the man should be alone. If you understand what God has been up to till now, all right, you will get what we're talking about here. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Verse 19. If you can put 19 and 20 together, if it's not too out of the ground. Okay, let's do 19. Let's just do 19 because it's cutting off 20. Thank you, sir. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field. Okay, whatever. Verse 20. Let's do 20, sorry. I think it's 20. And I think where I'm going next, let's go to 21 straight away. 21. 21. Because that's not even the point today. Yeah, that's it. That's it. Praise God. Now, please pay attention, all right? I just, no turbulence, but let me clarify. And the Lord God, we're talking about identity, right? Identity. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. He slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed it up, and closed up the flesh in its place. Now, let me explain what is happening here, all right? That deep sleep is a vision, all right? You will see that happened to Adam as well. That happened to Adam as well Abraham, I wanted to say, all right? Abraham in Genesis 29, verse 14. No, not Genesis 29. Genesis 15, verse 12. All right, that was says a deep sleep came on Abraham. Then Jacob also had a deep sleep. All right, so it's a vision. It's a vision. All right, hallelujah. A vision. Praise God. Bless us. Focus. Praise God. So let's get it better. So let's go back to that Genesis 2 verse 21. So. When you see rib, it says the Lord God, please don't let me lose anybody. That's, Bible says the Lord God took a rib. All right? Now, two things. At the time, there is no science to discover what a rib is. All right? The men of the days, they are not scientists to know what a rib is. All right? It was a vision. Now, the word translated rib there, I'll just say this and I'll move on quickly. The word translated rib there is the word in Hebrew called sila. And simply put, what sila means, I'm trying to tell you the vision of Adam, what he saw. And we're going to bring it back to identity. All right? Now, the sila there talks about a side, which will make sense. All right? If you read it, it talks about a side of a building. The other side of a building, all right? So that is one side of the building, and that's the other side of the building, all right? He says, it's not good for Adam to be alone in the fulfillment of God's plan and purpose about the things that God is doing on earth, all right? He said, it will make someone, I'm getting to identity, all right? Another side comparable to him, all right? So, we can use this for marriage because marriage typifies that. So, in fact, when you see marriage between a man and a woman, all right, marriage in itself is a type of what God is doing, the union that is God with us, all right? But in that vision, it was talking about Adam one side, Eve the other side. Praise God, all right? So, what I'm trying to say is that, bringing it back to identity, it means that the woman has got an identity in God, all right, to jointly fulfill the plan and purpose of God in filling the earth with his glory, with the knowledge of his glory. You get the point, all right? So if you notice before now, I said male and female created he them, all right? God gave the same mandate. Of course, when he said to the man, be fruitful, multiply. You know, he was talking to both of them. All right? So that mandate to be fruitful, of course, being fruitful here is not talking about, it's not necessarily or alone talking about having many thousands of children. It's talking about be fruitful, be more like this. More with the knowledge of God, with the glory of God, with the blessings of God, more like that. In other words, preach the gospel. Get more people to know about me. All right? And that mandate has been given to man and the woman. All right, I wrote something here quickly. Now, maybe before that, quickly, let's do some quick study. All right, So we said it's the side of the building. And Adam said, well, this is the flesh of my flesh and the bone of, and the bone of my bone. Then we've said that many times to make it look like, oh, okay, it relates to the woman alone. Not necessarily. Because what we will see, that word flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone, that's not the only time it was used in the scripture. It was used in many other places. All right? Then, I want us to just read a few of them to give us an understanding of what that means. All right? So that word flesh of my flesh, definitely, yes, it means a close relationship. It means, you know, a close bond. All right? But then it's not limited to the man and the woman. Let's just read it. Don't forget, Moses is the writer of Genesis. All right? See the other way he used it. Genesis 29, verse 14. I need to run. Genesis 29, verse 14. We're talking about God's eternal plan, right? And it is in God's identity. Yeah, in God's identity that we have our own identity. I think I'm making a case for the woman now as part of identity, okay? So that we don't... I'll say that quickly. I'll say that later on. Look at... See what Laban said. So when Jacob went to meet Laban, all right, he ran away from his brother. See what Laban said to him. So it's a very popular saying in their midst. And Laban said to him, surely you are what? My bone and my flesh. That already tells we are family members. We are together in this. Is that what he's saying there? Hallelujah. All right. So Laban will be his uncle. All right. So that is, it is showing a bond. Let's see some more. Judges chapter 9 verse 2. I'm just making us to read references of that word bones and flesh. Please speak in the hearing of all the men of Shechem. Which is better for you? That all 70 of the sons of Jerubbaal reign over you, or that one reign over. It says, remember, let's just go to it. But it's remember that I am your own flesh and bone. What's he saying? We are family members. Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, so let's do some more. We have about two more. 2 Samuel chapter 19, verse 12 and 13. 2 Samuel 19, 12 and 13. 2 Samuel 12 and 13. Look at it. Can we put it together? Will it work if we put it together? If we put 13 with it, will it work? Yeah, let's try. Give it a try. I just want us to read that ago. 12 and 13. He says, you are my brethren. All right? Look at the context. You are my brethren. You are my bone and my flesh. Why then are you the last to bring back the king? Look at 13. And say to Amasa, are you not my bone and my flesh? God, you get the point. Okay? So you get the context in which flesh of flesh, flesh in the bone of bone, all right? It talks about a close bond, all right? And not necessarily in the light of marriage alone. Let's look at that in New Testament. You know, it was used in New Testament as well, talking to us about Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30. You know how we got here? We're talking about identity. It is in knowing God that we know ourselves. And we said, even for the woman, God gave the woman an identity. I'm going to make some more points. I just want us to see this before we moved on. All right. Of course, it was using marriage to describe what he was trying to say in this context. But see what he says here. He said, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Did you see the point? All right. So the vision of Adam, all right, is to show the identity of the woman to Adam. All right, to say that you, all right, Adam is one side. Eve is another side of that building that God is building, and that they are working together. So let me just read the point here. All right, that a woman, talking about identity, all right, a woman is not first a wife or a mother. She is in the image of God. Hallelujah. We're going to do this better in another study. All right. She has a supernatural origin. And more than this, and also with the supernatural origin, she's got a supernatural function as well. Hallelujah. Are we together in all of these studies? All right. So as part of our identity in God, we get to know that the man has got a supernatural identity and function, and the woman also has got a function in God. So that the very first time God introduced the woman, all right, even to the man, all right, he's telling him that, yeah, he's got a supernatural origin, he's a side of the building, and he also has got a supernatural function, supernatural mandate on the earth. Hallelujah. I wrote here, I said God has got a singular identity and function for the man and the woman, irrespective of race, of gender, of your background, and of your status. God has got a singular agenda. Singular agenda. Hallelujah. We have a mandate to fill the earth with the glory of God, with the knowledge of the glory of God. Praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 11 verse 9. That was the scripture we were looking for yesterday. Isaiah chapter 11 verse 9. Look at it. Isaiah chapter 11 verse 9. We're talking about God's eternal plan. God's eternal plan. All right? We're going to drive faster now. Look at it. It says, and they shall not hurt nor destroy in my holy mountain. We now know that holy mountain. All right? In Eden. All right? It says, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters covers the sea. This assignment, this task, this desire of God is for the man, all right, and the woman alike. That's what I'm getting to. That is, even the introduction of the woman, all right, it may have been distorted and, in our generation, the woman is here, and in many cultures all over the world, no, all right. If you look at God's word, he gave the same responsibility, the same supernatural origin, the same supernatural function, the same supernatural source to the man and the woman. Now, I've not said, the Bible didn't say, well, maybe we should talk about marriage one of these days. All right, we will. But what we are saying, the source of the woman is supernatural as the source of the man. Hallelujah. And he gave us a singular function, identity on earth, all right, irrespective of race, gender. I have money, I don't have. I've got children, I don't have. I'm married, I'm not. I'm a manager, I'm not. Now, all of those fantastic, but we are saying that, hey, God has got a purpose for us, has got an identity, a function for us, a supernatural function, and it is the same for me as for you, sir. The same for you as it is for every believer, every child of God. We're talking about, it is in knowing who God is that we get to know ourselves. Peter said, you are the Son of God. You are the Christ, the Son of God. Well, I tell you who you are as well. You are Peter. Upon this rock, we're going to get to the rock now, all right? Upon this rock, all right, I will build my church, and the gate of hell will not be able to prevail. Hallelujah. God has got a purpose, has got a function for us to know ourselves in him. 1 John chapter 5. Let's see 1 John chapter 5. Let's move forward quickly. Let's go back to that Matthew chapter 16. Let's do some study quickly. We've got two more verses to cover. Is it making sense so far? All right. We are talking about God's eternal plan. All right. And we are reading that it is in God's word that we get to know ourselves. We don't come up with an idea of who God is. No. God is defined in his word. And we look into his word to see our purpose, to see our identity, to see our priorities, to shape our lives. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 now. Or maybe verse 17 first. Let's do 17, then we go to 18. Matthew. And I say to you, yeah, thank you, sir. Jesus answered and said to him, Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Verse 18, and I say to you that you are Peter. All right? Now, pay attention. Again, let's clarify this. And on this rock, I will build my church. Let's talk about that. On this rock, Jesus said, I will build my church. Now, please pay attention again. All right? I know we've given a lot of definition to this place. To say, Peter is that rock that God said it will be. But no, it's wrong. It's not. I said I won't talk like that again. That is wrong. debunking people's idea. It's not correct. It's not true. Because where was Jesus talking from? In verse 13, he said he got to Caesarea Philippi. All right. Now in Caesarea Philippi, there is a rock there. Now this is the time I would like you, if you can, bring out your phone and go to Google and type, maybe later, let's save time. You type Caesarea Philippi, gate of hell. It's a rock. All right? Where they worship Baal. All right? There's a rock. Jesus was actually pointing to a rock in front of him. All right? That on this rock. Now, if you understand what we've discussed before now, that we have the sons of God, we have... Now, on that rock, all right, there's a part of it called gate of hell. It has one hole like that, that is dark. We have, history has it. It's now that place is now in Israel, all right, called Caesarea Philippi, all right, gate of hell. It's a rock, all right. That place is the headquarters of idol worship, all right. They were worshiping Baal. They have about 20 temples that belongs to the pagan gods on that rock. All right? It's called the rock. It's called gate of hell. All right? So it says, upon this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell, all of the gods that were being worshipped there, they can't withstand it. It's not that they will not prevail. They can't even stop it. All right? I know it's been, right? It's called, it's an assignment. Make sure you do that. Okay? Just check Caesarea Philippi. All right? It's still a, what do they call that place? Monument. What's it called now? Where people go to visit when you travel. Tourist center. Attraction till today. And it's still called Gate of Hell. It's a rock. So that was where Jesus was. Anyone, if you understand the sons of God, the gods all over the world, religion and all, God was saying, hey, upon this rock, I will build my church. All right? And none of the gods there will be able to do anything about it. Hallelujah. All right? So he says that, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Okay? And that will be in Caesarea Philippi. Okay? So Jesus began his ministry. And again, it's important for us to notice, to know that Jesus began his work, his ministry in Galilee, a Gentile nation. It's very important to show us that it's not just for Israel alone. It's for everybody. All right? So this rock, he built his church on it. And did he succeed? Yes, he did. Now we have churches of God, sons of God everywhere. I wrote something there that, that rock is, associated to Baal worship, Trent pagan temples, built around there. He says, and they will not prevail. You know why? Verse 19. Let's just move forward so that we can wrap up this quickly. Verse 19. He now told us how he's going to do it. All right? He told us, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. You now know what that means. All right? Whatever we bound on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you lose on earth, all right, will be loosed in heaven. All right? So he said he will give to Peter, and of course, apparently, the disciples talking to him, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. So the question will now become, so at what point did Jesus give that key? All right, because we want to get to know that key. We're going to wrap up on that note. We've talked about our identity, about how we know God. God has given all of us, all right, a responsibility, a function on earth, equal for the man, equal for the woman, a side of the house, this side of the house, hallelujah. And he said, hey, I'm going to do this, and the gate of hell, all right, the pagans, the gods, the sons of God, the idol worship that they are doing that at the time, will not hinder me from doing what I want to do. In fact, the way he puts it is that they can't withstand. By the time I'm done, not that they won't prevail, they cannot even withstand. That's what he was saying there. That's the correct Hebrew or Greek presentation there. But let's leave that, right? But then he said he will give us this key. There's a key he gave us so that we can bound, we can lose, all right? So he gave us a secret. So, I don't want to call it a secret so that it doesn't appear as if it's mysterious. He said, I'll give us the keys of heaven. The question will be, so when Jesus now left, what did he give? What did he say was going to give, friends? Help me. Holy Spirit. That was what he gave. That was what he gave us. So we can, because we don't have the time, I'm looking at it now. All right. We can quickly import that knowledge that what God gave to believer, what is being referred to here as the keys of the kingdom of heaven, is the Holy Ghost. All right. He said, he says, I will give you the Holy Spirit. All right. He says, wait, I will give. All right. He talked about him giving us. So he gave us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit is that key. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Let's just read some scriptures now. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be, you get the point now? You shall be my witness. You shall be my witness. You will receive that key. All right, you will receive the Holy Ghost, you will take up the Spirit of God, and you shall be my witness. Not just in Jerusalem, in that gate of hell as well, all over the world. Of course, he said it in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. All right, so he gave us that key, and that key is the Holy Spirit. That key is the Holy Spirit. That key is the Holy Spirit. All right, let me tell us something. God's purpose for our lives will always require the work of the Holy Spirit. Always. And that's the key. That's the way out, friends. All right, now we can plan, we can strategize, we can say, but I tell you, it's the key to win in ministry, in Christian life, in anything we do as believers is with the Holy Spirit. We must know to flow with the Spirit of God. We must know to we must know to contend for the supernatural. Don't forget, he says, with that key, we will lose things in heaven. We will bind things. All right? He tells us it is with the Spirit that we contend. It is with the Spirit that, of course, when Jesus stood in front of that rock and he pointed to that gate of hell, that, all right, and says, and that the gate of hell will not prevail. Do you think that was a confrontation? Yes, it was. Was it a confrontation? Yes, he confronted those gods. Hallelujah. All right? So don't take Christian life like one of those things. No, it's a confrontation. It's a fight. In fact, we read many scriptures that put it so. It says, for the weapon of our warfare, they are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. It says, for we don't wrestle, all right, against flesh and blood. All right? So it's a confrontation. The preaching of the gospel, don't say, I don't want to offend anybody. All right? You don't have to offend anybody. Even the preaching of the gospel alone is an offense. To say I'm just for Jesus is an offense already, and we must know that. So when you see us being strong on some point, we are addressing some things. All right? And you should do that personally for yourself as well. Address it. It's a battle. Of course, I'm not trying to create this one devil, one demon. I don't know. No. Walk in the confidence that God has given to us. The authority wherein he has placed us. And we walk in that reality every time. All right? Now, I'm just going to show us one more thing, all right, quickly before we go. All right? We must know and be conscious of the work of the work and power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Don't take life casually. So when we say gift of the Spirit, you know, speaking in tongues, interpretation of it, get accustomed to those things. That is your key. That is our Holy Spirit. Maybe I've shared some things with Tolu Lokwe, all right? And Tolu Lokwe, okay, Pastor, give me 3 days. Let me just go and pray. And she's coming back with a pinpoint solution because she had prayed, because she had engaged in the Spirit. She had contended supernaturally. And that was the answer. And that is what needs to happen, all right? You know, that's how we're going to roll. Let me tell you how Paul did it. And we wrap up on that note. How Paul did it, all right? Romans chapter 15. Romans 15, verse 19 to 20. Romans 15, 19 to 20. That is how to roll in this life. It is with this. Please, can we say together, I walk with the Spirit of God. I keep step with the Spirit of God. It is my key to the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. Let's look at this together. Let's do Okay. Okay. Let's please start from verse 18. Start from let's do 18 and 19 instead. Sorry. 18 and 19. Let's move to 20. I just want to give you more context. All right. See what Paul did. See, Paul was giving an account of his ministry, how he went about to preach the gospel, all right, to contend. See what he said. He says, "For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me." He said, in words and deed. All right? To make the Gentiles obedient. Is that the preaching of the gospel? All right? To make them, that's disobedient means it's not making them gullible that you must obey. No, faith. To obey Christ. See how he did it. He says, in mighty signs and wonders. How did he go about it? He says, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you know, he says, so that from where? From Jerusalem, round about Illyricum. Now, Illyricum, all of those regions, they are idol worshippers. Of course, you read a few about it when he went to Athens, when he went to, they were worshipping. How was he able to penetrate those areas? He says, by the power of the Holy Spirit. So that from Jerusalem, all are about Illyricum. What did he do? I have fully preached the gospel. So you want to know the secret of Apostle Paul? It is the power of the Holy Spirit. It is the power of the Holy Spirit. All right? Friends, I tell us that is how we do it. That is the key. All right? So we have our identity in him. We have our responsibility and function in him. All right? He has given us the victory. He conquered the gate of hell. All right? He gave us men and women, or man and woman, the same equal responsibility. Now, family functions separate. All right? We'll talk about that. Okay? Bible talks about that as well. All right? Submission, loving one another. All right? That's not what we're talking about. We say supernaturally. All right? So when they say woman cannot preach, they've just read a portion of the scripture and they've not done it very well. All right? God gave that task to man and woman alike. Hallelujah. And the key with which we roll, we operate, is the power of the Holy Spirit. All right? Not just for us as a church or as ministry, but for you as a believer. For you as if in your family. Learn to say, okay, I know what is happening. I can sort that out. At times, COVID, give me some time. Let me just take it out. All right? And I will ask, okay, it's gone. I know it is by the power of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. All right? And the responsibility for us here is that we must know these things and we must contend for it. We must contend for it. In our eternal, in functioning in God's eternal plan for our lives, we must know to contend for the supernatural. All right? We cannot just base, of course, you know, we started with, you know, on Thursday saying that we are 100% natural, 100% supernatural. That is who we are. And we must know to function in both well. And we do that by the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't just keep quiet or just ignore. No, you learn to engage in the Spirit. You learn to pray long in the Holy Ghost. You learn to exercise yourself in the things of the Spirit of God, knowing that God has given us a mandate, equal mandate, same mandate. We have an identity in God that is not the identity of the world. It is the identity of God in his word that he has told us. Did that bless anybody? So, as part of God's eternal plan, where we function by the power of the Holy Spirit. So, if you see Paul, he went to Colossae, he went on all of those missionary walks. You know, Paul went to Philippi. He healed someone. I thought people should be happy. They arrested him. They beat him blue and black for healing. They said, he's a god. They wanted to worship him. All right? He said, I'm not a god. They should not worship. They were offended. All right, they beat him, they left him as dead. You think that's not, it was a supernatural, that was not God. All right, but then he bounced back again. That's when he will now go to Thessalonica. All right, by the power of the Spirit. What are we saying today? All right, we have an identity in God. All right, our identity is known when God reveals himself to us through his word. And in that identity, we have a function. And that function is by the power of God. And it's still within the ecosystem of God's eternal plan for our lives. Hallelujah. Are we blessed with that? Let's just give him praise today. Give him thanks. Father, we give you praise today. We thank you, Lord, because you are a faithful Father. Let's take our declaration. We thank you because you are faithful. Thank you for this day. Thank you. In you, we have eternal purpose, eternal plan, and we are not just seated on high. We are not just seated on having authority, all right? We are seated, all right, armed with the Holy Ghost, instructing us words of wisdom, words of knowledge, discernment, discerning of spirit, interpretation of tongues, prophecy. It flows freely in our midst. We know to contend for the supernatural. I know to hear God. I know to hear God. I know to take my matters to God. I know to arrange and sort and other things by God in the name of Jesus.